If I understood my meaning from the descriptions given by people outside of it, I probably wouldn't be able to find my way to the place. I wouldn't recognize it. My answer to you is, come and see. It's the best way to find out anything. And so Nathanael had to come and see. Now we come to an astonishing record. Here we come to an illustration of Bible exposition, brethren and sisters, with a difference that we're going to see that these humble fishermen, these men of Galilee, were no fools. And you won't get a better illustration than this. This man, Nathanael, is a thinker. I wonder if him and Philip were ever really friends, really, because he was much sharper than Philip was. And when he came to Jesus, we read in verse 47, and Jesus saw Nathanael coming to him and saith, behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom there was no guile. Now look, here is an illustration of the method of the Lord's teaching. It's a classic method in which he leads a man through the scriptures carefully. But he doesn't tell him the conclusion he wants him to come to. He lets him work that out. Now, this is really wonderful, the way this is done. So the first thing that he says is, oh, he says, concerning Nathanael, an Israelite indeed in whom there is no guile. Now, not only does he know Nathanael, but he knows what he's been thinking about. Because that is a clear reference, brethren and sisters, to the life of Jacob. Jacob, of course, was full of guile until his name was changed to Israel. An Israelite indeed in whom there is no Jacob. And we know for sure that Nathanael was thinking about the life of Jacob, because at the end of this chapter, Jesus said in verse 51, verily, verily, I say unto you, hereafter you shall see the heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. That's a reference to Genesis 28, when Jacob was on his way to Padan Aram and he went to Bethel. And he made the stone his pillow at Bethel and he lay down to sleep. And he saw a staircase, not a ladder, but a staircase coming down from heaven. And he saw the angels of God ascending and descending. Now they weren't descending and ascending. They were ascending and descending. See the point? See, if they'd have been descending and ascending, they would have started away from Jacob and finished away from Jacob. But they were not doing that. They were ascending and descending. They started with him and finished with him, and God said, I will be with you in all places whither thou goest. And so the reference to Jacob was unmistakable. And so Philip had been thinking about the life of Jacob. Ah! But the Lord knew to what stage he was up to in his thinking. And he picked him up at the stage he was. And Nathanael had been working his way through the scripture, and the Lord knew exactly where he was, and he had but one step to go to come to the right conclusion. How do we know that? Because he said, when you were under the fig tree, I saw you. I was under a fig tree and thinking about the life of Jacob. So was Micah. Turn to Micah chapter 4. What a marvellous thing this is, brethren and sisters. I'd like you, you've got three hands. Luke, John 1, you, I hope you've kept. Micah 4, and I want you to turn to Genesis 35. Will you have a look at this? In Micah chapter 4, here's a prophecy, brethren and sisters, based upon the narrative of the history of Jacob. And it begins in verse 4 with, and they shall sit every man under his vine and under his fig tree. In verse 6, in that day, saith the Lord, will I assemble her that halteth, and Jacob halted on his thigh. I will gather her that is driven out, and her that I have afflicted, and the angel afflicted him. And I will make her that holdeth a remnant, her that was cast off a strong nation, and Yahweh shall reign over them in Mount Zion from henceforth, even forever. You know, brethren and sisters, up until that point we may think to ourselves, well, are we really in the life of Jacob or are we not? Does the word halting, it's in the feminine gender, is it a reference to Jacob or is it not? Verse 8 doesn't leave us in much doubt. And thou, O tower of the flock, the stronghold of the daughter of Zion, unto thee shall it come, even the first dominion, the kingdom shall come to the daughter of Jerusalem. And we look at the tower of the flock, we look at the margin, and it says, Hebrew, the tower of Edah. The tower of Edah. Now that left hand of yours in Genesis 35. Jacob is on his way back from Padan Aram. And we read, brethren and sisters, that in verse 16, and they journeyed from Bethel. And notice this, don't miss this. And there was but a little way to come to Ephrath. And Rachel travailed, and she was in hard labor. And it came to pass, when she was in hard labor, that the midwife said unto her, Fear not, for thou shalt have this son also. And it came to pass, as her soul was in departing, for she died, that she called his name, the son of my sorrow. But his father called him Benjamin. The only boy named by Jacob. His father called him the son of my right hand. And Rachel died and was buried in the way to Ephrath, note that, which is Bethlehem. Now listen to this. You listen to what I emphasize. And Jacob set a pillar upon her grave. That is the pillar of Rachel's grave unto this day. And Israel journeyed and spread his tent beyond the tower of Edah. No question what Micah is talking about, brethren and sisters. Now look what's happening. Jacob is returning home. Rachel's in agony. Bethlehem is just down the road. They can't reach it. They're hurrying to get there, but they can't make it. The woman can go no further. They've got to stop. There's only a little way to go, but she can't make it. She dies in agony, bringing forth the son of her sorrow. That's what she called him. But his father called him the son of my right hand. When she died, Jacob commemorated her death. But Israel grew great and spread his tent. That's a symbol of growing great. Grow great beyond the tower of Edah. The message, brethren and sisters, is clear. Who is Rachel? I don't have to tell you. Matthew did that. Rachel weeping for her children. Rachel is a symbol of natural Israel. And they died in the agony of the Roman invasion, giving birth to the one that they call the son of my sorrow. A man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. But his father called him the son of my right hand. And Israel's grave is commemorated today under the natural name of Jacob. And they never will become great, brethren and sisters, to spread their tent beyond the tower of Edah or the tower of the flock until that death had taken place. Now come back to Micah 4. This is what Nathanael is following. We're following what Nathanael was following. And in Micah chapter 4, we read verse 8, that he would spread his tent beyond the tower of Edah, that is, O thou tower of the flock, unto thee shall it come even the first dominion. But look at verse 9. Now, he says, why are you crying aloud? Is there no king in thee? Is thy counselor perished? For pangs have taken thee as a woman in travail. Be in pain and labour to bring forth, O daughter of Zion, like a woman in travail. For now thou shalt go forth out of the city. Thou shalt dwell in the field. You will go to Babylon. Israel would die, brethren and sisters. There would be the death of the nation before true greatness would come. But in chapter 2, or chapter 5 and verse 2, but thou, Bethlehem Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me that shall be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been of old from everlasting. And so when there was but a little way to come to Ephrath, Benjamin, who typified our Lord, didn't quite make it, brethren and sisters. It was but a shadow. But the one who was to come, when Israel would die in childbirth and later on become great, this is the boy that would be born in Bethlehem, out of thee, all the way, brethren and sisters, when he come forth, it would be, what we would be? Ruler in Israel. Now listen carefully. He would be ruler in Israel, and his goings forth, and the word in the Hebrew means evacuation of the bowels. His coming out of the bowels have gone way back to God. He would be the ruler in Israel, and his birth would be way back. He came forth from the deity. And here comes Nathanael. And he's been tracing this through with us. He's been thinking about the life of Jacob. He started at Bethel with the ascending angels and the descending angels. He followed him to Padan Aram. And sitting under his fig tree, he picked up the point from Micah 4 that the history of Jacob had spoken by the prophet. And Jesus, grabbing that mind, just said to him, I know you, I know what you've been thinking, and I know that you were thinking it under the fig tree. And Nathanael stared at him, and all of a sudden it hit him, and he said, Rabbi, and you listen, brothers and sisters, Rabbi, you are the Son of God, the King of Israel. They are the two issues of Micah 5. You're the one, the Son of God and the King of Israel. He shall be ruler in Israel, whose evacuation from the bowel comes from old. And Nathanael was brought to that conclusion magnificently by the Lord Jesus Christ, who took him logically to that point. And the conviction came home with telling power, brethren and sisters. You're the one. And so Nathanael joined the band of the disciples, a student of the word indeed, whose conviction was matured by his contact with the Lord Jesus Christ. I just want to say one other thing in concluding our studies together in John chapter 1, brethren and sisters. Clock tells me we've got 2.5 minutes to do it. That's enough. But at the end of John chapter 1, Jesus said, verily, verily, I say unto you, he said, look, Nathanael, you believe these things, you'll see greater things than these. He told him in verse 50. You see, because, he said, Jesus answered and said in verse 50 unto him, because I said unto thee, I saw thee under the fig tree, believest thou? See the point that Jesus is making? It's the connection with the fig tree that got him to believe, because Jesus, by that reference, caught him in Micah 4. See the point? He said, because I mentioned the fig tree, you got the point, Nathanael, didn't you? But now he says, you're going to see greater things than these. You'll see the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. Upon the Son of Man. Brethren and sisters, you would not find a passage of Scripture anywhere that contains all the titles they ever called our Lord. In verse 34 of this chapter, and in verse 39, they called him the Son of God. In verse 41, they called him the Messiah. In verse 36, they called him the Lamb of God. In verse 49, they called him the King of Israel. In verse 38 and 39, they called him Rabbi. The Son of God, the Messiah, the Lamb of God, the King of Israel, Rabbi. And he finished up calling himself the Son of Man. And when he died, or was on his way to the cross, he said to the Jews, he said, if I, the Son of Man, be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. Their response to that was, who is this Son of Man? And so whatever they looked for in the Messiah, that's the last thing. Nobody saw him as that. And yet, brethren and sisters, no less than 85, I think it is, odd times, Jesus addressed himself as the Son of Man. Not the same title as Ezekiel. A lot of people think it is. It's not. Ezekiel was called son of man. Every time, son of man. But Jesus addressed himself as the son of man. So Ezekiel himself was but a shadow of that one. And what's the son of man, brethren and sisters? It's that title that he gave himself when everybody else was looking at him as different, as greater, as way and above them, and truly he was. But when everybody else saw him as being elevated above humankind, the Lord took unto himself the title which identified him with every man and woman that he will save. Son of man, brothers and sisters, is not a title which denotes his humility or his humanity, for that matter. It's a noble title because he said, even the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister. So it's not a title of humility, as it were. But it's that title by which we know him, that he is the representative of us all. He tasted death for every man. For what is man that thou art mindful of him? Or the Son of Man that you visit him? So God was mindful of all men. And so he visited one of their race, that he might carry them to God. And that's the title by which Jesus would want us all to be known. He'd want us all to know him by that title. Yes, brethren and sisters, he is the Son of God, the Messiah, the King of Israel, the Lamb of God, and all else that they called him. But preeminently, he is the Son of Man. For unto us a son is given, and unto us a child is born, brothers and sisters. Let us go away, therefore, from this school. Identify him with him in every way. Brethren and sisters, God bless you all in the days that are to come. They're going to be evil days. They're going to be very evil days. We're going to go through traumatic experiences. I promise you that. Not because I've got any power over it, because that word says it. But there is here in this school hearts and minds that love the truth and love their God and love his son. Brethren and sisters, hold fast to that with all tenacity. Let nothing upon this earth deter you in your course. Let neither life nor death, principality or power, any circumstance whatever, or any created thing, brethren and sisters, nothing let you be separated from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. For we depend upon you, and you depend upon us, and your strength is ours, and ours is yours. Every brother and sister that falters contributes to the downfall of the ecclesial world. Don't falter, brethren and sisters. Elevate your minds. Lift your standards above the world. Care nothing for this life. And look forward to the day when our Lord Jesus Christ will come. And he'll know us all, as he knew all of those. He has read us all and understands us all. And will take us into his kingdom. Because he is the Son of Man.
We want to thank you, Brother John, for those stirring words and for your series of lessons this week. And now we have about